Hey, Mitake, let me ask you how to help you with my chappy. My relatives, it's me, the about here in the center woman, coming at you. Tonight, I am coming at you from Pierce, South Dakota. We're up here in the state capital, along the banks of the Minnesota and the Bad River. We're up here because tomorrow the Senate will be commemorating Sergeant Philip James Iyett, who is my uncle. He has a quite profound story, a remarkable journey that is rather sad and bleak at times, but in the end is a powerful story of faith and of hope and of prayer. So I just wanted to get started. I came up here with my mother, who is his little sister. Her name is Eva Iyett, and she was born in 1954, and her brother, by 1954, he had already been missing in action for about 3 years. So she had never met him, but she had always lived with his memory through the stories and the oral history from her brothers and sisters and her parents. She being the youngest of the 15 children, and he being the oldest. So, Sergeant Philip James Iyett, who later became the warrior known as Akichita Ishnola Naji, or the warrior who stands alone, he was born in December of 1929, and his early years were in the on the Rosebud Reservation. He went to school at St. Francis, and it was also there in St. Francis where he started, or where he enlisted into the military. He enlisted into the military in January of 1948 in St. Francis, South Dakota. And from there, he started his long journey. By then, America had been going to war, and we were at war with Korea. So he was sent over there September 2nd of 1950. He was wounded by an enemy missile. We were trying to fight off the Chinese forces, and he was wounded by an enemy missile, so he laid in a hospital for 19 days. And you know, you'd think that that there would have stopped him, but he laid there, and 19 days later he got back up and he went out and he fought again. And he fought until February of 1951. So for about almost 4 months, he trudged on while still nursing an injury from enemy missile. I don't know anybody who has done that. Meanwhile, his family at home was worried about him and praying for him and keeping him in prayer, uplifted. My grandfather, Joseph Iyett Jr., very worried about his son, always listening to the radio, always wanting updates, always asking around and trying to get in touch with Akichita or soldiers who were coming home from the war. February of 1951, Sergeant Philip James Iyett was captured just west of Seoul, Korea. And it was there he was detained by the Chinese forces, and he was made to march northward, a death march, if you will. It was very painful. A few years ago, we attended a casualty meeting. My mother has been attending those for years, hoping to find some information. She's kept a constant vigil with the Department of Defense. My grandfather, who passed away in March of 77, he was very instrumental in my mother's plight to bring back her brother. He was always searching. He was always trying to find money to not only to go over there, but to he was always trying to find money to go over there. And so he always kept up that prayer and made it very strong. So my mother when he passed away in 77, he told her, you know, sister, you're going to be the one to bring him home. So, just be ready. And when you do it, you know, it's going to be a good time because you'll be the one to do it. And, little did we all know that he had prophesied that because, you know, growing up, I'm 40 years old now, and that's all I've ever known was about Uncle Philip and how we have an uncle who still didn't come home from the war, and, you know, that we would always keep him in our prayers, and that he's very important to us as his grandfather's firstborn son. So Uncle Philip was always there, and he was always in our hearts and in our memories, and especially in our prayers. My mother's mainly, she did a lot of praying, and this is a result of that faith that brought him home through her prayers. So in 1951, he got taken, and there was other reports back that we were hearing about him being over there in that prisoner of war camp. And, you know, it always brought a lot of questions to our family because we just didn't know what he was up to up over there. And, you know, of course, we had our thoughts of, you know, him having a really hard time, and those always made us sad. But from the sadness brings forth prayer, and that always was something that could get us through the days a little bit easier. My mother, she would always be praying for him, and she'd be writing to the Department of Defense, Department of the Army, and I would see her doing that. You know, late at night, I'd hear her asking our Creator, Tukashilawa Kantanka, to help her out. And she'd be, Azilia, her letters, she'd be smudging them with sage. And she'd be asking that these letters find the right people to hear her story. And to, you know, she's asking big questions about her brother who's still there and who we haven't heard from. And so she was praying that, you know, when the Department of Defense opens up this letter, that whoever is reading it, that they, you know, have a good heart and a good mind to hear her prayer and her plea. And years and years of praying and, you know, sending these letters and keeping correspondence and attending meetings all over the United States with other families who are also missing their loved ones, we finally hit a breakthrough. We were due to attend the casualty meeting, which was to be held in Washington, D.C., but we just couldn't come up with the funding, and so we made other plans instead of going to Washington, D.C., and then all of a sudden in August 6th, on a Tuesday morning to be exact, get a call from the Department of Defense, Fort Knox, Kentucky, Jim Bell, and he says, you know, you might want to sit down because I've got news, and, you know, everything's been successful, and your uncle has finally, he's been found, and we're going to bring him home. And it was like, whoa, you know. So right then and there, we're on this mission to bring him home, and to bring him home in a fashion that was very honorable. And in our Lakota ways, he joined a very elite spiritual society, and it's very humbling to know that as his niece, and, you know, to know that that's my mom's brother who attained this status as a very esteemed and, you know, humble warrior. He rose up there, and to know that the grandfather's Tashinka Witko, Crazy Horse, you know, are the grandfather Sitting Bull, the grandfather Black Elk, the grandfather Rain in the Face, to know that they came to receive him when he came home. You know, not only did he come home to Lakota Makoche or to the Chesapa, the Black Hills of Lakota Territory, but he came home to a spiritual gathering that was so immense that, you know, I'm still in awe of everything that's happened. But he was greeted by the grandfathers, and, you know, just knowing that makes me happy because I'm his niece. And, you know, to know that, you know, the great people who we look up to in our prayers actually came to get my uncle and take him back home is the best feeling ever, you know, because he's finally home, and it means a lot as his niece to know that my uncle is a warrior. All of them. My grandfather had, he had 10 sons, and a few of them were in the military. They were all warriors. They all took care of the people, some in the American Indian Movement, some for the U.S. military. Philip in particular, he was the first soldier. He went to Korea, and of course, he was in the prisoner of war camp, and that's where he passed away, and he's finally home now. But a younger brother of his, Franklin, who we called Shorty, he was also in the military in the U.S. Army, and he was over in Germany during peacetime. And one of Uncle Philip's pallbearers, Leroy Sixtoes, who is a family friend, also old Amster too, Franklin and Leroy actually joined the military and were sent out and deployed on the same day. So that's a pretty good story. There's a lot of history that comes with Uncle coming home. And he had two other younger brothers, Lawrence John, we call LJ. And he's a Chekpa. He had a twin brother named Lauren. But LJ, he was a Special Forces combat tracker in Vietnam, 47 confirmed kills. Very esteemed warrior. And another one, Leroy, he joins the brothers in, he was in Marine Corps as a sniper. And while this was all going on, they also had two nephews that were over there too in Vietnam. So, you know, our family certainly isn't shy when it comes to standing up for our people and our our lands. When Philip came home, it was a memorable event. As soon as we got the call, veterans groups we first met up with was the Chauncey Eagle Horn post, who isn't official yet. It's still in the process of a name change, but they have switched over post 125 of Rosebud from the Chauncey Eagle Horn to Chauncey Eagle Horn and Philip James Iatt Memorial Post 125. Chauncey Eagle Horn was the first Lakota from any tribe that was killed during World War One, and he's from the Rosebud Reservation. So it's very esteemed honor for Uncle Philip to receive this, and we are very thankful to the Chauncey Eagle Horn for, as soon as we found out that evening, a Marine pulled up by the name of Eugene Ironshaw Jr., and he told us that at the start of every post meeting that Philip James Iatt was prayed for, and to know that he was coming home was a tremendous tremendous honor. And so we asked the Chauncey Eagle Horn post to bring him home, and they were joined by the Oglala Lakota veterans from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, who also showed us a huge show of respect and honor. And it was just something else. There was a lot of unity and love that came with it. You know, we always give our creator, Tukashla Wakantka, credit. I'd also like to give Ampowi Chakbi credit. I'd also like to give Wochekya Glihamani a lot of credit. His English Chaja, Rudy Escamilla. This man is a very humble man who has helped my family, and I've seen him perform miracles. And one of the miracles is by bringing home Uncle Philip, and I'm really happy with the help that he's giving to us. And I just want to thank him also when I put up my list of thanks. My mother, she was just so happy when this all came down that I wanted her to be able to relax. I wanted her to be able to kick back, because for, you know, almost 64 years, you know, she was praying hard, and it was her prayer that lit up a star, and Uncle Philip followed it all the way home. So I wanted her to relax, you know, and get to know her brother after so many years. So as soon as I found out that he was coming home, I started getting on the phone, and I started making phone calls and started emailing. I just was getting out there and about, and I was just letting it known that, you know, this great warrior, Akichita Ishinomaniji, he's coming home. And, you know, I wanted the whole world to know that a great man, a great warrior, finally made it. And we were going to celebrate, not be sad and mourn him, but be happy and celebrate the life of a great man who finally is back on his homelands. And that's what we did. And it was a huge event. It turned into a lot of people that came together. And the main thing that was so awesome about everything was that it brought love. There was so much love that you could just feel it. I remember coming home and there was a huge caravan. And, you know, you couldn't tell that he was in the back of a hearse. It was like he was sitting in the back of a convertible waving at people, because we had lines of cars that were just waving at him. There was people, towns that came out and showed him love. They sang him honor songs, and that's what he deserved. He deserved songs. He deserved for our people to gather, to eat, to feast, and we butchered. You know, he deserved all that, and he brought us together, and he brought us together, you know, in good times with good healing. So I believe that he's medicine too, and I'm really thankful for the medicine that he brought us, because with him he brought a lot of healing. I remember passing a young boy on the side of the road who was about 15 years old, and he was just crying his eyes out with his hand on his heart. That still makes me tear up, because, you know, to know that this young boy, who is probably a relative, is standing there showing a great man respect, and he has his hand on his heart, and he's probably praying and he's crying. That just makes me feel really good, because my uncle brought that, and he brought back so much love with him that he's spreading it no matter where we go. And so tomorrow we're going to be going up here to the Capitol. They're going to honor him, commemorate his memory, for his selfless sacrifice during the Korean conflict. And I think it's Atakili, my little family. We travel as unit. My love Harley, and our little one Jeff, and my mother, and my 10-year-old T-Bird Thorne. We go everywhere. We're Team Philip. We go where he needs us to go. And right now we're sitting in Pierce, South Dakota, and tomorrow there's a big blizzard coming, but we're here, and we're pretty happy, and we just want everyone to know that Philip James Hyatt's home, and it's a pretty monumental event, and it just ain't a homecoming that lasts one day. It's going to last 4 years, so Doksha, tomorrow we'll see you all. So thanks for listening, and thanks for honoring the great warrior Akichita Ishinomaniji.